I want to make sure I correct something. Brother Colson said that there would be three languages used on Wednesday night. There'd be interpretation going on for three, the Spanish, the English, and the deaf. But I know some of you would feel left out, so we're going to have crayons and color sheets for the blind so we can translate for the blind. We are a politically correct church. I want you to know also on Wednesday night, if you missed it, Dr. Claire preached, and he preached on marriage, and he said men ought to be treating their wives like a good racehorse. And on the way home, I stopped and got my wife some sugar cubes. She didn't get it. Well, thank you. She thought that was a really nice gift. Want us to, again, if we can, focus our attention on John chapter 21 for a minute. Any time in the Bible I see a story that refers to fishing, I'm immediately reminded of Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, where Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So I often think of fishing of men when I see any story in the Bible about fishing. Every Christian here should share their faith and tell others about Jesus Christ. We call it soul winning. People call it witnessing, sharing the gospel. We're to do it. Even if you're here this evening and you were saved this morning, God wants you to tell somebody what happened to you. And you say, "Well, Brother Owens, I don't know how to tell someone how to be saved." Now, all you got to do is tell them what happened to you. And if you don't know what happened to you, my office is office 425. If you'll come by after the service, we'd get you saved, because I think you do know what happened to you. In this story here, we see that Jesus had been crucified and then resurrected. Peter and some of the disciples got together and went back to their old way of living. They'd gone fishing. The Bible says they had toiled all night and they had caught nothing. Suddenly, on the shore, a man was standing there who was not minding his own business. Any fisherman knows the last thing you want to hear is the question, "Are you catching anything?" when you haven't got anything on your stringer. And on the shore, this fellow says, "Children, have you any meat?" That was someone asking, "Do you have any fish in the basket? You got any fish on your stringer?" Now, I'm sure at first the disciples did what any good fisherman thinks about doing. They were ready to lie. And knowing that Peter was on the ship, I'm sure that had Peter been the one that got to speak, he would have lied and said, "Yeah, we have a lot of fish on our stringer now, and mind your own business." But you do find out from this story, when they answered this man on shore, their answer was abrupt. They said, "No, we have no fish." And then the man on shore said, "Cast your net on the other side of the ship." And they did so. And the next thing you know, they had so many fish, they didn't know what to do with them all. And Peter said, "I know that voice. I know that voice." You see, the first time Peter heard that voice, it was at the sea, and Peter was a fisherman by trade. And that's when Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." The next thing you know, before they even got the fish up out of the water, Peter jumped in the water, was swimming to shore to see Jesus. I ask you this question this evening. Children, have you any meat? Got any fish on the stringer? Are you getting anybody saved? Got any fish in the basket? Now, at first, probably if I called on you, your first reaction would be to lie. But then if you be honest, maybe I'll just say no. No. The Christian is to go soul winning and share their faith. We're to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know why they were not catching any fish. I think if we look at the story a little bit better, we might be able to figure it out. As I look through this story, I see in John chapter 21, it talked about the Sea of Tiberias. Now, that's where these men were fishing. They might have said, the reason we're catching no fish, the reason that we're getting no one saved, if you will, is because of the sea. Well, let's let that sea then this evening be the world. And you might say, now, Brother Owens, the reason I'm not catching any fish is because of this world. The bad thing about that is in this story we find out it's not long until they're catching all sorts of fish in that sea. So there was ample supply of fish to catch. The problem was not this sea. We see today as a result of the Spanish's big day. There's fish out there. Oh, Brother Eddie and the teenage soul winners, what a miracle. I tip my hat to you. You've proved to the rest of us there are fish in that sea. And we'd like to blame the world and say, Brother Owens, it's the condition of our country that keeps us from catching fish. And I'm sorry, it's not the condition of our country. There are fish being caught everywhere. You say it's that liberal compromiser in the White House that's going to keep us from catching fish. No, it might be the compromiser at your house that's keeping you from catching fish. Oh, it's this wicked world, Brother Owens. That's why people aren't getting saved. No, the world is full of lost people, and they need to be saved. Let's not blame the sea. Let's not blame the world. And verse number 3 talks about the ship that they were in. Now, I know this. I know that the ship held up because they ended up filling that ship with fish and the men made it back to shore to meet Jesus later on in the story. But I wonder if somebody would have liked to try to blame that ship. If you'll allow me for this evening, I'd like to compare the ship to the church. There are people that would like to blame the church. They'd like to say, now it's the church. That's why I'm not catching fish. There are probably people in here today. You'd like to blame the fact that you're not influencing anyone toward heaven on the church. You'd like to find somebody to blame. But you know the church is as strong and as important as ever. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's the church that's attacking the gates of hell. Now you'd be better be careful around here because we're attacking. You might get walked on somebody's way to attack those gates. But you might say, well, it's the church. It's where we're located. Never affected us before. You see, there's just so many things about the church. We want to blame the church. The church is unpopular. The church is not what it ought to be. But I've got news for you. The church is as important to God as it's ever been, and it was not the ship's fault in this story. It's not the church's fault. Might I announce to our enemies, the old church downtown is as strong and willing and powerful as ever. God's blessing is on the church. You can't blame the church. I wonder why they weren't catching any fish. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 6, the tool they were using was a net. Now, the way that you catch souls is you use the gospel net. They were using a net. Now, they might have said, well, it's stupid net that we're using here. And there's only one net, folks. There's only one gospel. There are people everywhere that they're trying to examine the net. I read in my Bible this afternoon in Luke chapter 5, verse number 2, they mentioned a net, and there were some people there on the side of the sea. They were cleaning their net and organizing their net. I've got news for you. We don't need to clean up the gospel. We just need to cast it out there and use it. People are wanting to change what they call the gospel. No. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is adequate for today. It's been adequate for all of time. It will always be adequate to keep people out of hell. They wanted to clean up the net. Maybe they wanted to blame the net, but the net wasn't the problem. We found out the net held all the fish that were to be caught. We don't use the gospel, the fishing pole. If I received a new fishing pole for Christmas and I brought you over and I said to you, let me show you my new fishing pole. Isn't this thing beautiful? I showed you how it casted and I said, isn't this a beautiful fishing pole? I'm going to let you touch it. And I let you hold my pole for a second and then I hang it back up above the fireplace and you come over about 6 weeks later and I say, let me show you my fishing pole. And I show you that fishing pole and I let you touch it and say, what do you think of that pole? And you come over about 6 weeks later, it's still hanging in. I say, let me show you my fishing pole. After 2 or 3 years and after many summers have passed, you come over to my house and I say, let me show you my fishing pole. Isn't it a nice pole? You know, sooner or later, you're going to ask me this question. You ever catch any fish with that thing? How many of you have a Bible with you? Hold that thing up. Some of you, it'll kill you to do it. Hold your Bible up. Let me ask you a question. You ever catch anything with that thing? Hey, you say, well, I got a nice leather scope. What good is it going to do you? You put it on the coffee table, and you say, I got me a nice Bible. You put it out there where everybody can see it, and you carry it, and you have your pretty Bible cases. Take that thing out of the case and start casting it. We want to blame the net. The net was not the problem. We go on, and we find out that they were fishing. Now, when you're fishing, you're usually fishing for fish. Now, I often catch more than fish. I catch shoes and tires. But they were fishing for fish in John 21:6. What's the fish? Well, that's a lost man. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. It's a lost man. You say, well, I tell you what, Brother Owens, it's men. It's the men of this world. We live in a wicked world. The wickeder the men, the more need of a Savior. We like to blame man. We say, there are so many people out there, Brother Owens. Right, there are so many people. There are more people on the face of the earth today than ever before. There's a greater opportunity for you to win others to Jesus Christ. Say, but they're not as receptive as what they used to be. That's not the problem. We're not as receptive to the Holy Spirit as what we used to be. You know, fish are not stupid. They travel in schools, you know. I've never talked to a fish that said, I want to go to hell. The problem is we don't have fishermen that will do their job. As I looked through this story, I was trying to figure out what in the world was the problem here. Why were they catching no fish? It was not the world or the sea. It was not the ship, the church. It was not the net, which was the gospel. It was not the fish. I wonder what it was. As I went on in the story in John 21, I see there were some people in that ship. Now, if we're going to examine things, let's make sure that we look at everything. I looked in John 21, and I seen that there was a fellow in that ship by the name of Simon Peter. Now, I don't want you to turn to it because I'm going to, but let me read to you something about Peter. The Bible says in John chapter 18, verse number 17, it tells us that then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. In verse number 25, he said, I am not. In verse number 27, he denied Christ. This is Peter. Now, we're on a ship. I want you to picture it. We're out on a ship. We've got a guy on the ship who is ashamed, maybe, to be on that ship. You know, it's pretty tough to catch fish if you're ashamed to be a fisherman. I know a little bit about the character of Peter. And I picture Peter out there on that ship, and you don't have to picture it for a second. He was ashamed to be out there on that ship. So you know what he was doing? He's probably ducking down. You want to look over the top? He said, somebody's got to tell me if my bobber goes under. I don't want anybody to see me out here. You don't catch very many fish that way. Peter was ashamed. I think Peter said, well, I don't want anybody from the shop to see me out here. I wouldn't want anybody from the school I go to see me out here. Those people live on my street. I wouldn't want them to see me out here. They live in the same town where I live. He works where I work. She worked at the grocery store where I shop. I don't want them to see me out here. You see, when you're ashamed, if you're ashamed to be a soul winner, you're not going to catch very much. I think that Peter was ashamed. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to be associated with Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed to be a soul winner? I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I've got to. I was going to Jacksonville, Florida, and I had a layover in South Carolina. I like witnessing at the airport because sometimes I get ashamed. You ever get ashamed of Jesus? Sometimes it's hard for me to witness. But I like witnessing at the airport because it's easy. I ain't going to ever see those people again. Just passing through. I like that. Well, I was at this layover, had about an hour, and I thought I'd go be a courageous soul winner where nobody would know me. And I got off the plane, and it was the fattest woman I ever seen in my life standing there. That's the part I probably shouldn't say, but I got it in my notes, and you got to follow your organization here. I mean, this woman had rolls. I have never seen fat breaks on a woman like that before in my life. Dr. Rice would have called her well upholstered. Man, she was more than just well upholstered. She was a storehouse for upholstery stores. She owned a chain of fabric stores. She was very well upholstered. I walked over there, all the courage a man could muster, And I said, "Ma'am, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven?" She said, "No, I'm not." I said, "I'd like to talk to you for a moment." I pulled my Bible out. I said, "I want you to know that everybody's a sinner." She said, "You don't have to convince me of that." She said, "Honey, I'm a glutton." I couldn't believe it. "I'm a glutton." That's what she said. I thought, boy, I must be on, you know, there must be a movie camera somewhere, and they're taking a video for pastor school, going to show the dumbest thing a man ever did. I'm standing there talking to this lady, and I said, "No, ma'am, you're really a bad sinner." She said, "Yeah, I'm a bad glutton." She kept calling me honey child. "Honey child, I'm a bad glutton." I said, "Ma'am, I want you to know there's a price on sin." She said, "No kidding, I'm living proof." She said, "My sin is ever before me. I'm serious now. I'm trying to win this lady to Christ." Hey, and I might add, she was serious. And it was serious. I'm not exaggerating one ounce. Boy, was she talking loud. I couldn't believe this woman was talking so loud. People were stopping and staring. I said, "Ma'am, I'm not trying to embarrass you. If you'll just hold your voice down, no one will know." She said, "You don't think they can tell by looking?" I said, "Lady, what you need is you need Jesus Christ to save you from your sin." And she said to me, "And he would have to work twice as hard to save me as he would to save you, skinny boy." I witnessed to her, and I finally felt a little bit like I'd gotten her serious with me, and I don't know if she got saved there, but she prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart and save you. But you know, in that story, I told it because she was less ashamed of being a sinner than some of us are being soul winners. Have you ever noticed how the world, they're not ashamed of what they do and how they live and how vulgar they live? What's wrong with us just getting out there and enjoying, telling others about it? You don't have anything to be ashamed of. But boy, I see Peter now, and he's out there and he's ducked down on that boat saying, "I don't want anybody to see me out here. Oh, they may see me. They go to my school. They work where I work. I don't want them to see me. You can't catch any fish if you're not going to watch the net." Are you ashamed? Why, the reason most of you don't win people to Christ, you're just ashamed. You're embarrassed to tell someone about Jesus Christ. And I went on, and reading there in John 21, I found out that there was another fellow on the boat. His name was Thomas. Thomas. Well, a little research told me something about Thomas. In John chapter number 20, the Bible says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he saith unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas has a nickname among believers. What do we call him? Thomas the what? The doubter. Oh, we've got somebody else on that ship that's catching no fish. Who is it? It's Thomas the doubter. I can see Thomas now. "I doubt that we're going to catch anything today. I don't even know why we're out here on this sea. I doubt that anybody's going to get saved. I doubt that anything's going to happen. I doubt that this is worth my time." We got a doubter. And then what do you have? You have Peter there. What's he doing? "Shut up, Thomas, and sit down. Somebody's going to see us. You're going to embarrass us. Oh, I doubt that anybody's going to see us. I doubt that he's dumb enough to be out here." What do you mean? Just sit down. Sit down and relax. Let me talk to you a little bit about this. We've got the doubter along with Peter there, huh? "I doubt that we're going to get anybody saved." "Well, the last time we went soul winning, we didn't get anybody saved." "I doubt that we're going to get anyone saved." Now, let me share a little truth with you. You don't save anybody. God does the saving. You just deliver the message. You say, "Well, I've never gotten anybody saved." But have you given the message? Oh, the doubter. The old doubter says, "Well, they probably didn't mean it." Well, I'm glad that you're not around to judge my sincerity all the time, although I'm sure you do. But you have no idea who means it and who doesn't. You have no idea. Why doubt that we're going to grow in our Sunday school class? We got a bunch of doubting Sunday school teachers. Hey, you were on that ship, weren't you? All right, here we go, another fall program. I doubt that my class is going to grow. I doubt that my bus attendance is going to grow. I doubt that my church is going to grow. I doubt that our department's going to grow.
Well, no wonder.
You're out there shaking the ship, doubting. I doubt that anything's going to happen. I'll invite somebody like Brother Hiles asked me to. I doubt that they'll come. I doubt that God would use me. You have no reason to doubt God. God will use you, and He wants to use you. All you have to do is decide to be used. That's all. That's all. The worst thing to doubt is whether or not Jesus wants to save. I'll guarantee you Jesus wants to save. But we have the doubter out there. He's just out there. I doubt that this isn't going to work. I doubt that anybody's going to get saved. I doubt that the church is going to grow. I doubt that my Sunday school class is going to grow. No wonder they weren't catching any fish. Can you picture that ship just shaking and rocking? Well, I went on in the story. And I see that there's another man mentioned in the story. His name is Nathaniel. Now, I've always learned the best commentary of the Bible is the Bible. If there's something you don't understand in the book of John, go to another book to find out what God was saying. What book, Brother Owen? Try the book of Mark. If there's something you don't understand in the New Testament, and you want it explained, go to the Old Testament. God didn't need anybody to explain anything for him. He can explain it. You'll give him a chance. So to find out something about Nathaniel, I looked in the Bible. So far, this has worked. I'm going to read a scripture to you. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You know what we got here? We got a critical spirit.
We got a guy out there on that ship, and you know what he's doing? I can't believe we're out here fishing in this very spot. Who picked the spot? Where'd you get the stupid boat? Hey, you idiot, sit down and shut up. Well, I doubt that anybody's going to see me out here doubting. Just sit down, and you don't even know how to doubt right. You get up, you stinking wimp. What's wrong with you? You go, get up. Hey, please, be quiet. You guys argue somewhere else. Somebody's going to see us.
What do we have? We have the critic. Why, you guys don't know what you're doing. I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe that's what you're going to promote. You know, he said, gotta be fishing on the other side of the ship. Well, why are you running the bus there? Now, who picked this ship? Who is it? Whose idea was it to win souls here? I've got to go soul winning with who? You're going to team me up with who?
Yeah.
She slobbers when she talks. You want us to go soul winning at what time? You want us to go where? It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too early. It's too late. It's too far away from home. It's too close. Right, my neighbor may see me. Oh, we have the critic. Let me pick my own partner. Yeah, the critic. You know, if some of you would criticize soul winning less and do it more, you would find less to criticize. And by the way, if you're so good at it, show us your stuff. He said, you don't need those promotional items, then show us how. Come on, tell us all about it. Tell us how you're going to do it. Come on, trot them down the aisle. Let's see them in the water. Are you a critic? Are you just a griper, that's all. He said, well, they took my seat. Good to have someone spiritual in it for a while. Even when I try to be phony, I seem to be mean. You ever notice that? You want me to win who? Well, he's too white. Yes,
rich. They're too poor. Well, they're too common. You know, the ones that criticize the buses and the bus kids the least are the ones that love them the most. You know, the avid, the productive soul winners don't criticize bus ministry. They don't gripe about it. We're trying to keep people out of hell. You show me your critical tongue about soul winning in the fall program, and then show me your soul winning record. That's all I'd like to see. I want to compare the two. We ought to compare apples to apples here. Or critics to critics. Oh boy, we got a problem out there on that ship. And no wonder they weren't catching any fish. You got Peter out there. Somebody's going to see me. I know they're going to see me. Oh, there's that girl. I like her. Oh, she'll hate it if she finds out I go to the Baptist church. Oh, and then you've got the doubter. Well, I doubt that anybody's going to get saved anyway. I doubt that this is going to work. Oh, we have program after program after program. Nobody ever comes for me. No wonder, sourpuss. We tried this before. We tried to give away everything under the sun, and it never worked. So maybe we'd give you away, things would start happening. I can see that old ship just rocking and reeling out there, and Peter trying to get everybody to shut up, and we've got Thomas out there doubting everything that's happening, and Nathaniel criticizing everything that's happening. I guess we're probably onto something here. We might have figured out what was wrong and why they were not catching any fish on that ship. As we continue our Bible study, I can exegete. You didn't know this was all there, but it's there. The next two guys hang out together all the time. Their names are James and John. And James and John, you usually hear them together. The Bible tells us in Matthew 20, and I don't want you to turn to it, I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter number 20, the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 20, now what does the Bible tell us here? The Bible tells us, oh no, there's in John. And I was going to fool my way through that one. I had preached whole points because I had the wrong scripture in there. Just made up a whole point. It had nothing to do with the sermon, but we made the scripture fit. James and John, Matthew chapter 20, the Bible says this. It says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Here's James and John, and from this little story about their mom, I don't know if they're anything like their mom. I know the Bible says, as the mother is, so shall the daughter be. I don't know if they were like mom, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that the Bible tells us here that mom was a glory seeker, trying to get the boys promoted, try to get them in the limelight. And I wonder if that's how James and John were on this boat. I wonder if they were out there just letting everybody know how wonderful they were. Hey, everybody, soul winner of the year right here. Hey, form a line. After we get on shore today, I'm signing Bibles for everybody. Fisherman of the year right here. Me and John here. What a team. He drives, I fish, I drive, he fishes. We are somebody. Rod and Reel Show. I'm sure you saw it. You a glory seeker? Some of you, the only time you do any soul winning is when you're going to get an award for it, get a picture taken. Oh, I'm thankful for you, because some of you, this is prime time of year for you, isn't it? You're going to come out of your shell. You're going to show up for the soul winning meeting. Appreciate that. God bless you. Thanks for coming by and tipping us. We go soul winning around here 52 weeks out of the year. 52 weeks out of the year. Oh, James and John, can you picture them out there on that boat? I can picture it. I can picture John. He's probably got his wallet out. Hey, why shouldn't you guys have pictured the big one I caught last year? Look at this. Look at that. Oh, I'm not a bad fish, huh? You tell them about the story about all the big ones that got away? But, you know, a lot of us have some stories, by the way. I've noticed the glory seekers, most of their stories come from the past. Hey, got any good fishing stories from this week? Huh? I'll tell you what, Brother Owen, last year, well, you wouldn't believe how many people I had saved. How many last week?
Well, in my heyday...
Well, we done bailed your hay, Sugar Pie. Why don't you get on the ball now? The people that you've seen saved in the past, I'm glad for it, and so are they, but there are people dying today. Oh, we got the glory seekers. You know, I'm always excited when people are excited about winning souls to Christ. There's a difference in somebody truly being excited about and somebody wants to come jam their numbers down your throat, too. Yeah. Like you're Mr. Wonderful. God might have used you, but you remember it was God that used you. It's a privilege to be used of God.
Well, how many did you get, brother?
His question is probably, how many did I get? He wants to compare the two and see if he's superior. That's what he wants to do. See, sometimes the issue for some of you is not souls won, it's souls won by you. Not souls won, it's souls won by you. You see, if it's not your group that's getting something done, you won't participate, you won't pray, you won't be for it. You know, that's not your group, you'll get no credit for that. What's your pride?
Yeah.
Well, we're all fighting hell. We better fight together if we're going to get the job done. Fundamentalists need to make sure that we get back to soul winning for Jesus and not for ourselves. I think people that are saved, whether it was done through your vanity or not, are still saved. But I'll tell you something. Some of us are doing it just for the sake of making sure we get our name in the paper. I'm doing it to make sure that people get their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what it's done for.
Amen.
So we've got Simon out there. He's scared to death, ashamed of everything. He keeps saying, see if my bobber goes down. Tell me if my bobber goes down. And then you got Thomas the doubter. He's out there doubting that anything's going to happen. Then you got Nathaniel the critic. He said, Thomas, won't you just shut up? And you, Peter, where'd you get the bobber? It's the size of a basketball, but I can see it better that way. And we've got James and John, the glory seekers. Everybody know how wonderful they are. You have so many awards in soul winning. It's incredible. Thanks for showing them to us every week. I appreciate that. Thanks for reminding us. But then, you know, as I read through here in John 21, I seen the Bible says, and then there were two other disciples. Now, they're nameless. I've often wondered, well, who are those other two? I'm wondering maybe if... the two other disciples, one of them could have been you, maybe the other me. What's your excuse? Maybe I didn't cover your excuse. I don't know why you're not winning souls. I don't know why you're not concerned about the souls of men. But were we on that ship? I ask you a question. Catching any fish? Can I fish on your streamer? Children, have you any meat? Well, I'll tell you, I know for a fact it's not the world. They caught some fish from the sea. It was not the church. Look at our church. We have the most marvelous church ever. We've got what it takes here. We're right smack dab in a part of the world that needs Jesus Christ, and there are plenty of fish. And it's not the gospel. The net did not break. The net is powerful. Just cast it out there. It was not the fish. There's adequate fish, but I can tell you what it was. It was the people on that ship. It was somebody that was ashamed to be a soul winner. It was somebody that doubted that God would use them and doubted that God could work today. It was somebody that was critical of the program. It was somebody that just wanted some attention. And they only did it when they would get the attention. Or it was somebody, we don't even know who they were or why. But whatever your excuse, it may be the people in the ship. I think we keep people from coming in the ship. I think we keep people from trusting Christ. We just need to cast the net. See, if you're not soul winning, you're soul losing. See, if we're not winning people to Christ, they're staying lost.
We're losing them. You say, what do I do, Brother Owen? This fishing story is very simple. In John 21, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And he," that's Jesus, "said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast their forth. You know what they did? Obeyed. I've not been thoroughly trained. Just obey. Tell somebody what happened to you. Obey. Obedience. And what happened? They caught some great fish. They caught a lot of fish. You know, I asked a man. He was a professional fisherman, made lots of money by doing so. I asked him one day, I said, I was preparing a message on fishing. And I asked him one day, fishing for men that is, I said, "Hey, Mike, tell me something. If I were stranded somewhere and the only source of food I'd have would come from a river or from the ocean, and the only way I had to catch food was to fish, you could only give me one piece of advice about my fishing pole, what would you tell me?" He said this. He said, "That's easy." He said, "Keep your line in the water. Keep your line in the water. You can't catch fish if you don't keep your line in the water. There's a whole bunch of you need to start carrying a New Testament with you again. You used to, but you don't anymore. Carry that thing in your purse." He said, "Well, my soul winning time is Monday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Well, I'm glad that, guess what? Sometimes the fish don't always pass by when you want them to. You may just have to be ready any time to keep somebody out of hell. Well, it's not in my schedule. You're going to schedule some people straight to hell. Oh, I'm for scheduling your soul winning time. I'm also for living like a soul winner. Living like a fisherman. Someone once said, give a man a fish and feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. I say, teach a man how to be saved, you win a soul that day. Teach men how to win men, be a soul winner for a lifetime." Simple question. Children, have ye any meat? That's for all of us. We're going to start the fall program next week. When I was asked to preach this evening, I thought, well, what is appropriate and right? That we're reminded that it's time to get the net out. Some of you need to get your fishing pole out. And let's do our best. What would encourage the preacher most? That's keeping people out of hell, I promise you. And that's going to encourage Jesus the most, too. And I might say this, probably going to encourage you the most, too. Nothing more encouraging than having a fish in the basket. Got a fish on the stringer? Children, have ye any meat? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask this question. All tonight I've spoken to Christians, but I keep talking about saved, getting saved, salvation. Christians' job is to tell others about Jesus Christ. For some of you, maybe you're not saved yourself. Well, this is a church that cares. This is a church that specializes in helping people to the Savior. You're invited to trust Christ and to be saved this very night. In just a few moments, you'll hear the instruments begin to play. After they do, we're going to stand, and after we stand, I'm going to invite you to trust Christ as your Savior. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, after we stand, people begin to come. You just come. There'll be a man at the end of each aisle, and you just say to him, "I want to be saved." And we'll show you how you could be saved. There are a whole lot of Christians in here tonight, Ben, who you ought to get on your face tonight and make that decision. I am going to get my net out. I'm going to start doing some fishing. I'm going to get somebody saved. And stop making excuses. Stop rocking the ship. Just obey. Father, take what's been said, please. The instruments will begin right now. Let's stand to our feet. If you're not saved, if you'll come. If you're a Christian, God spoke to your heart. If you'll come.